Laura Dwyer Schletke, Bill Schletke. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
How are you?
Good.
Well, so today we're going to talk about boundary issues because I had a question this morning about that, and I thought, well, what a good thing to do.
You know, so, when I woke up this morning, I said, I hope Laura talks about boundary issues.
Wow. And I told that to Bill, and his comment was a different type of boundary. So, that's what I said.
It involved the use of a safe word.
We won't go there. So, in the city, and I think anywhere where there's a platted subdivision, so that would include Summit Township and Blackman Township and some places in, outside of those areas, we have metal rods that distinguish corners of lots.
Well, no, that's not true.
Okay.
Many subdivisions were platted where they did not put corners of the lots. All they did was put corners of the subdivision, and then the plat simply laid out the lot line. So it would be very rare if there were survey stakes at the corner of each lot.
But in the city lots have them.
Not necessarily.
Really?
There are plenty of plats that were created in which, and still, that where they don't stake out each individual lot. The individual lot gets staked out when, in fact, there's a building permit that's requested.
Well, when I went around to all of our properties with a metal detector and found the rods to every single lot, every single property we own in the city.
That's because there may have been a survey done when the permit was lifted on each of those. What I'm saying to you is it is not necessarily the case when a subdivision is laid out. And that's true as well with a condominium, with a site condominium, that they don't put the stakes in. They put the stakes in for the corners of the subdivision, or if there's a change, in other words, I've got a change in the angle. I've been in practice a little over 48 years. And I've done hundreds of boundary disputes, and many of them arise because these plats were set up where they simply laid them out. Now, over the years, over decades of use, people have fought, particularly along lakes, where the lot lines weren't perpendicular to the lakefront, but angled to the lakefront. Everybody, of course, aligned everything straight to the lake. So now everybody encroached on everybody else. So, no. Don't count on the fact that there is a stake at the corner of the lot. There may not be.
Okay. Well, I know that there's some subdivisions where they were staked, and the stakes are still there. But let's make the assumption. Let's start the conversation then with the assumption that we're in the city, and let's assume it's one of our properties, and we have metal. I know we have metal rods because I found them. Once you locate the metal rod, and if I were going to put a fence in, where does the fence, can I put it right on the property line?
Okay, well, you got to back up, because a survey line is not necessarily the property line. Let's suppose that the survey line was set back when the subdivision was formed in the 1920s, all right? So take the example I was giving you, where people have not honored what the survey line is. They have built a garage across, they've built a porch, a deck, or they've created a garden, or they've built a fence. I mean, this is how boundary disputes arise, is that over years of use, contrary to the survey line, the line will have changed by virtue of the operation of law. Remember, there are these concepts called adverse possession and acquiescence. And there's also easement by prescription, all of which can change what the survey boundary is. So simply locating a stake or locating two stakes along a boundary line does not mean that that is the boundary line.
okay.
Example, you sent me a text in which somebody, they found the stakes. I prefer to say not finding the stakes. What I would do is if I was putting up a fence, I would have a survey performed. Okay, so that I would know where the survey line is for my legal description. But in the example you give me, somebody's garage goes over the property line onto somebody else's property.
Yeah, although I will say the picture that was sent to her was taken off of, I assume, was taken off of the GIS. And GIS is a website that's provided by the Jackson County. And you can go on, anybody can go on that Jackson County's website, go to the, it's an aerial of the property, just to give you an idea, but that doesn't say, that's not for sure that those property lines are accurate.
Not at all. GIS is not a survey line. You would not rely upon a GIS survey, GIS aerial, to determine what the boundary line is. So the first thing you do is you have a survey done, and you have the stakes put in. When I say stakes, I'm talking about survey stakes that are metal stakes, which, by the way, if you pull out, in other words, if a survey is done by your neighbor and you don't like where the stakes are, you cannot pull out an iron set by the surveyor. It is a felony. So the surveyor will also, if you ask them to put in wooden stakes along the boundary line, that's not the same thing. You shouldn't remove them so that everybody knows where the boundary line, at least the legal line, is. But again, the legal line is not necessarily the boundary line, because the doctrine of acquiescence says if the parties have acquiesced in a line which is different from the true line, and there are three ways to acquiesce, but if it has been acquiesced in a different line, that becomes a new boundary line. Same thing, adverse possession. If I openly, notoriously, continuously for a period of 15 years occupy the property of another without that party's permission, I acquire title by adverse possession. It's a transfer of title by operation of law. So simply locating the legal line doesn't necessarily mean that's a boundary line. And here's the way disputes arise, is somebody usually buys a property, they have a survey done, lo and behold, they find out that the adjoining property owner, they're encroaching on to the across the true line. So now they go out and they put up a fence. Well, the neighbor comes in and files a lawsuit and says, you put up a fence illegal or contrary to law because I and my predecessors have occupied that strip of land, for example, for more than 15 years. We acquired title by adverse possession. Seriously, I've done hundreds of boundary disputes, and that's probably the most prevalent real property litigation that exists.
Well, so let's start easy, though. Let's assume that there's nothing on the property line, that there's 10 feet, 15 feet before there's a building or anything that would be encroaching on a property line, and that it's just clear land, and that there's metal rods there. Where would I put my fence if I wanted to put a fence up?
Well, okay, but now the question is, let's say there's 10 or 15 feet, like you say, it's land, but who's been using that land for the last 15 years?
Okay, but let's make it easy. Let's assume that the right people have been using the land. Nobody else has been encroaching on anybody else's land.
Okay.
Okay, I know you're a lawyer and you like to make things, you get into the weeds. I'm just clipping the top part, the top third of the grass.
Well, that's what I love, because that's what makes lawsuits, and that's what keeps me in business.
Right.
Is not bothering to get to the root of the issue.
Well, but let's assume
off the top.
Yeah, let's assume that everybody's cutting their grass where they're supposed to cut their grass, and nobody's got a place set over the property line, or no garage, or driveway.
The true line is the line of occupation. Okay, so
right.
That's the true line. Can I put a fence? I can put a fence up to that line. Now, I've had this happen several times, but the most recent one was out on Mirror Lake down out on South Jackson Road,
mm-hmm.
where I had a huge boundary dispute between parties. We ended up with a settlement, and then one of the parties puts a fence along that line, but what they did was they put the fence right up at the line, which is fine, okay? Assuming that the local ordinance doesn't prohibit a boundary fence right along the line. You got to remember, along some lakefronts, there are prohibitions against fences all the way to the lakefront from, for example, the house or the cottage to the lake, or the fence can only be a limited height because you can't block the view of the neighbor. But assume that the ordinance doesn't prohibit a boundary fence of 6 feet in height, for example, right at the boundary line. I can put it at the boundary line. I must make certain that it's inside those stakes. In other words, if I haven't agreed with my neighbor that we're going to put up a common fence, I'm putting up my fence I put it so it's inside that boundary. Now you got to make sure if you're putting concrete below the surface in order to hold the post, that concrete cannot go over the imaginary boundary line that goes to the subsurface. I've had several of those cases in which the neighbor now comes back and says, nope, you've got to remove your fence because you put concrete underneath the subsurface of my property. I had a case up on Crystal Lake one time where huge lawsuit. We went to the Michigan Supreme Court over 13 feet on Crystal Lake. The lawyers, of course, called it the Golden Triangle because the litigation went on so long and the only people that made money were us lawyers. But at any rate, we ended up winning. The next weekend, the neighbor puts up what's known as a spite fence, puts up a fence with the good side facing their property and the back of the fence facing my client's property. So now, the next weekend, my client goes up and they put a spite fence immediately adjacent to the other fence. Again, they're both on this newly declared property line by virtue of the court. So, but you put it inside the line. Now you got to remember, check the ordinance, check your local ordinances to make certain that your fence is going to be in compliance.
Okay, so what? But if you have an agreement with the neighbors, so for example, I want to put a fence up, and we own the property right next door. So clearly, I'm not going to dispute with myself. I can put it right on the property line.
You can put it wherever you want.
Okay.
Since we own both properties. Doesn't matter where you put it.
Right,
except
for at some point in the future, we may sell, and you don't obviously want to have a problem at that point. So you want to pay attention to
if you put it over one side or the other, what you would do is when you sold it, you would change the legal description. Although you have to make certain that the new legal has the required frontage. Required the depth, et cetera, to beat the ordinance if you do a lot split. So you'd probably put it right on the property line or as close to the property line as you can. You may face an if it's been there for fewer than, well, you can't adversely possess against yourself. So if you wanted to make it a boundary fence as opposed to just a fence to contain animals, pets, that sort of thing, then you would probably want to change the legal, again, so long as it conforms with the minimum lot requirements of the municipality.
Okay. So now let's start getting into the weeds, and let's assume that my garage is at or slightly over the property line. What happens at that point? What would the steps be for me or my neighbor to either agree or solve this problem?
Okay, again, very common issue. Structures are built across property lines all the time. First thing is, when was it built? Because if it was built since the zoning ordinance was adopted and the zoning ordinance has a 5-foot setback, et cetera, that structure is an illegally non-conforming structure. In most circumstances, it was put in before the zoning ordinance required a setback of X amount, so it doesn't violate the setback. But what it does is it encroaches on the neighbor's property. If it's been there for more than 15 years and it was there without the permission of the neighbor, guess what? That person now owns the land underneath the garage by virtue of adverse possession. The adjoining neighbor who's complaining about the encroachment, if he files a lawsuit, he's going to lose, assuming that the garage, again, has been there openly, notoriously, continuously for a period in excess of 15 years without the permission of the guy whose land it encroaches upon. And the simple way to solve that, if they're being good neighbors, which is very rare, and again, that's what us lawyers like. We don't like people who cooperate. We like people who fight. And so, but if they cooperate, what they do is they simply do a quick claim deed from the owner of the property across which the garage encroaches to the neighbor who owns the garage. It's as simple as that. It's a very thing to do. You have a survey done. Okay. But, adverse possession cases, boundary cases, the courts have held every case is different. Every case turns on the individual facts, and so it requires a determination of what those facts are.
So if my garage or my driveway or something that is hard and fast, that doesn't go away simply because I want it to, because you have curb cuts when it comes to a driveway, then what I'm going to do is get a survey And I can just get a survey for that particular line. I don't have to survey my entire lot. Would that be correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So I get a survey for that line on my property, and then the survey comes with a legal description. I guess if I'm going to change my legal description on my entire lot, I probably need all four corners surveyed.
Yeah, if you're going to change a little, well, no, because if I'm simply going to change the one line, I can draw a description, or the surveyor can draw a description using the original land description, the meets and bounds. Or if it's a lot, he simply says, now let's suppose we're moving the line over 4 feet. He now says, together with the westerly 4 feet of lot number 34. So, okay. No, I don't need to do all four corners in order to change the legal. Just depends upon what it is I'm trying to accomplish. But if I'm only changing the one line, that's all I need. Look, the lawsuit I have going up in Sault Ste. Marie right now, we're just concerned about the line between the properties. We don't care about any of the other lines. So that's the only survey line that's been done. There's a legal now for that line, and there's a legal for the descriptions for each parcel.
So then do I get that description to the municipality so they can change their records?
What you do is you do quick claim deeds. You do a quick claim in that one, you know, although we now have another dispute as to whether or not the survey is conforms with what the settlement is. But assuming that now either court has determined what that legal line, what that line is going to be, or the parties agree, all you do is a quick claim deed from one to the other. The quick claim deed gets recorded. We all know that you need to notify when you record an instrument like that, where there's a transfer of title. You have to file the real property affidavit to the assessor, so that's how the assessment records get changed.
Okay, and so to summarize this, we can the neighbors can agree, and life is good, and they do the quit. In any event, there's always going to be, if there's a dispute and the property is actually has an encroachment, the quick claim deed will resolve that. So in any event, that's the process after. But before, you can agree or you can go to court, right? Those are your two options?
That's where you go. You go to court. There's some other principles that apply, and that is, let's suppose that I put my garage in now and it encroaches on somebody else's property. Do we have time? Are we running out of time here? Because this is a whole different kettle of fish.
Nope, we don't have time. If it takes more than a minute, we don't have time.
It takes more than a minute, and there's still a lot of issues with respect to boundaries that we need to talk about.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I hope that answers the question or concern that I got emailed to me or texted to me this morning. If anybody else has any questions they want us to talk about, we're always looking for topics, and I would appreciate the input from our listeners. You can email me.
Can I add one thing?
Sure.
That I've been involved in dozens of cases in which two competing surveys were done, and the surveyors don't agree.
Oh, yeah.
Has to determine the thing. So just keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, so one neighbor could have a survey, and the other neighbor could have a survey, and they wouldn't necessarily match.
That's correct.
Is what you're saying. I find that very interesting that could happen, but
I think it's great.
Yeah, yes, you would. Okay, but anyhow, if you have a topic and you want us to talk about it, you can text me on my cell phone, which is 734-660-4260, 734-660-4260, or you can email me at Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at 780-3800.com, Laura at 780-3800.com. So a couple of properties I want to talk about is, I have a new listing at 1122 South Jackson Street. It's a three-bedroom with a bedroom on the first floor. The bathroom is on the first floor. The laundry's on the first floor. And there's a one-car attached garage with a shared driveway. And that's listed for, for $39,000. I lost my list. Hold on one second here. We have... shoot. Oh, here we go. Cooper Street, vacant lot, commercial zoned, 1442 Cooper Street, so it's pretty close to the highway. What a great location, and now that we have the new roundabout and the highway's being finished, it's a great entrance into the city, a good opportunity to buy a nice corner lot for $100,000. And 610 West Michigan Avenue is great office building, solid as a rock. Two levels and walkout area to a nice parking lot. Property goes all the way through to Wildwood, and it's got an amazing outbuilding, and that's 569-9. 615 West Franklin is a nice little building that's being used as an art studio. It's good size, seller's motivated. And with that said, I've got a couple of properties that are not in the multiple listing service. One's a three-bedroom house for $90,000. Another one's a two-bedroom with an expansion area in the second floor to make it into three. And that one's $110,000. If you'd like more information on any of those properties, if you'd like to call me and talk about real estate, your real estate needs, please do so. My number is 780-3800.